Johnny, did you know Car and Classic now does online auctions?
Yes.
Did you know each Car and Classic auction includes professional photos and a description of your car and offers a secure payment service?
Yes.
Did you use Car and Classic online auctions to sell your Jimny?
Yes.
Did you find the process quick and easy?
Yes.
Did you once eat too many baked potatoes and then run over yourself?
No. You're thinking of Brian Harvey off of E17.
Yeah.
Smith & Sniff is sponsored by Car and Classic. To find out more about online auctions, visit carandclassic.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. Are you still drunk?
No, I'm not. I'm not still drunk. Although I was worried I'd be bubbling a little bit. I might go into limp home mode because there were shots being fired. When I say shots being fired, I don't mean, I wasn't in a sort of like gang scenario.
Shots being fired down your throat.
I wasn't packing heat. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, there were glasses of filth being tipped down.
This is going to be a bumpy ride. So you've been out till all hours boozing, and yet you sound quite perky. I had a very early night. I went to bed at 9:30 last night because I feel like absolute crap because I've got a cold and I sound pretty dreadful as a result.
But you
a drop of booze past my lips and I sound like dog shit, whereas you actually are quite perky. I'm surprised
because I've had 3 hours 40 minutes sleep, and because I know that because I set my alarm to the last point when I knew you'd phone me, and I got into bed gone four, so it was. And I'm going to go properly into limp home mode. I know I will.
Oh yeah.
And all the power will be cut and you just have to tickle yourself back to bed. I feel like that's what's going to happen.
I've got a blanket wrapped around me. I've cut a rather pathetic figure here. Being very sorry for myself.
But do you know what I do? When I wake up after a fairly boozy, party-ish evening and I don't feel ill, I always play Alive and Kicking by Simple Minds. I think it works. It's sort of like my celebration song. Because really good for air drumming whilst you're making a cup of strong coffee. Mm. But also just uplifting because it's a reminder of, like, they don't always go sour. Sometimes you can survive them, these nights. You can get through.
I was talking about that track and Simple Minds off that era.
Yeah.
Last week. I went away with some mates and we were just listening to some tunes. And we got onto how incredibly spacious a lot of 80s production is.
None
more spacious than Simple Minds. It feels like everything they recorded was done in an aircraft hangar.
It was all done at Bicester Heritage.
Oh, was it? Okay. I thought maybe Cardington, those...
Oh, yes, it was done at Cardington.
We did the last one in a warehouse and it wasn't spacious enough. We need an airship hangar. That'll be good.
And the drummer is approximately 150 paces away from,
Jim
Kerr, the lead singer.
Yeah, but hitting them really hard, so...
Oh, huge snares, though. The snares are the size of a sort of an SUV bonnet. They're absolutely massive. Massive.
He's using walking sticks to hit them.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got so... Shepherd's Crook.
Alive and kicking.
If you get the chance, just play a little bit of that era of Simple Minds. So play Glittering Prize, Alive and Kicking, obviously Don't You Forget About Me, and there's another decent one.
Belfast Child was done in that building where they assemble space rockets at NASA, where it gets clouds in the ceiling.
Is this true? Work out with you. I'm just taking the piss now.
I reckon they probably did it all through the desk. That feeling of incredible.
Oh, on the waterfront that's got a big sound. You just said it. It's all got a big sound. It's all been done in an empty Amazon warehouse, which is not a thing because Amazon
so spacious.
Yeah, I love it. I have to say, it's really uplifting. And I don't know why. Oh yeah, it's sort of a drinking survival tune of mine.
So you had a good night out last night then?
It was lovely. I need to say thank you to Audi, which is, a bit of a clanger to say, but I got invited out for a little Christmas dinner, which ended in, we've finished at the restaurant. Let's just go for one drink around the corner in a place I know off of Soho in fucking London. And I was like, yeah, go on then. Go on then. And we went in there and it was completely feral. It was like we'd invaded a quite a sort of fighty, aggressive wedding party. But it was fun because, I mean, although I had been drinking, I was not on the level of most of the people in there. And I immediately enjoyed the people watching. And I scanned across the room and I found who I think in my head is possibly the enemy of Pinin Popeye, who I mentioned in last week's podcast. So picture this. There's a neon sign for the pub at the end of the at the end on a big wall.
Yeah.
Near where the DJ was actually playing some tunes. And this guy, bearing in mind it was warm in this bar, right? We went in there and it was warm. This guy was wearing a big sheepskin coat. And underneath, he had a fleece that had some sort of like Nordic scene on it. And he wore thick glasses, a completely white beard, and one of those adventurer kind of Crocodile Dundee spec hats. He had all this stuff on. And was drinking ale and swaying to the music. And there was another bloke dancing around him. Bearing in mind, this guy's probably in his late 60s, I'm going to say. And I looked at him and I kind of like took a mental picture. And I thought, in isolation, with my stereotype head on, car stereotype head on, he is your textbook, I'm going to say, first generation Isuzu Trooper owner.
Discovery, but yes, I think you
know. I know, I think he, his friends have got discos, but he's always gone for something like a Daihatsu 4-track, because ultimately it's a more comfortable car, possibly better MPG. But he could be a Bighorn owner. Was it a Bighorn?
If he's Pin and Popeye's enemy,
yeah.
Does that make him Bighorn Bluto?
He's Bighorn Bluto, and he is a bigger. He was bigger guy.
Bluto.
He was. Do you know what it is? It's the battle of the older guy with the 90s 4x4.
But quite reliable 90s 4x4s.
That's right. But they're never kept clean. They look after them mechanically, but they do smoke in them with the windows up and they don't empty them of litter. Those guys. They're the guys that turn up at one of those quarry open day off-roading events with no prep at all. In fact, they've still got their slippers on and they just go, I'll do this.
Absolutely refuse to trailer the car there.
Oh, they don't trailer it at all. In fact, they've totally forgotten to change the tyres over. They've still got road tyres, but they just drop them down to about 10 PSI and just go, oh, I'd be fine. those are those guys. And it always works for them. They prove the rest of the field wrong. They go in there and they buck the trend. People giggle quietly. Go, you know, who's granddad here with the dream catcher on the rearview mirror of the 4-track? And he's like, yeah, watch this, boys. Oh, by the way, I'm on road tyres. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's just see what happens. And he's probably got a husky in the passenger seat or in the back. One of those an enormously hairy dog. Just a very hairy dog. Yeah, probably a husky.
I was in a pub in the Lake District last weekend and someone came in with a St. Bernard and it was a shockingly massive dog.
It's a big dog.
I mean, it was a boy dog as well. And the guy told me that it weighed 50 kilos, I think he said.
50?
Now, I've got a reasonably large dog and she's 30 kilos and that's plenty.
Yeah.
But it's 50 kilos. So that dog is not doing anything it doesn't want to do. And I wanted to ask the guy, but I didn't. What do you drive?
Yeah, like, what do you drive?
What can you get this absolute unit of a dog in? I was thinking it's probably got to be like a, you know, a T6 kind of, you know, one
It's Renault Trafic.
One of the ones with the seat in the back, but then you still got a van bit.
Yeah.
Where the dog can go. It's definitely got to be something with self-leveling, or you're in trouble. You couldn't just sort of go, just hop in the back of my Terios. It would be on the bump stops.
Oh, well, Terios, as we've said before, very thin. Very thin. Got a very thin face, a Terios.
This is a thin-faced car, isn't it?
Who makes a Terios? Is it Daihatsu?
Daihatsu.
Yeah, it is Daihatsu, isn't it?
Can't get them anymore.
No, you can't. You can't.
Bad news for thin-faced car enthusiasts.
What other cars are thin-faced? There are. It's normally the K cars that we've talked about previously because they are just thin. Those people carriers, like the little micro people carriers, like the Honda N-Box that we can't get in the UK. They're just very thin-faced cars.
Why does Honda N-Box sound rude? It's not. It just sounds it.
N-Box.
You absolute Honda N-Box.
It does. But then that's the thing. There is a sort of a Japanese import name insult scenario which could go down. If you were to go on the internet now and just pick an obscure name and say it as a Cockney insult, you've done that to me before. What you've said to?
Well, we talked about this before. I mean, yeah, where Cockneys just pick objects and use them as insults.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucking oven. It's not an insult, it is now.
It is now, because I've said
What are you, some kind of storage heater? No, that's not an insult. You're just saying object.
Put it down, you total wicker basket. Who are you?
Yeah. So leave him alone, he's an extendable table. What? It's just a thing.
Imagine a pair of aggressive Cockneys running an auto factor, and they just reel off whatever car part you've just ordered. They just reel it back to you in an aggressive footy hooligan way. And always sounds like it's an insult every single time. You could name a car part and it would work. I'm sure it would.
There was a K car. Wasn't there a K car called the Toyota Voxy?
Oh, I think there was.
You absolute Voxy. I don't know. That sounds like it might be a compliment. I'm not sure. But
I was learning the ways of the Toyota Velfire recently because I didn't realise it's like a sub-brand in Japan, Velfire. It's not badged as a Toyota. It's a Velfire. And you can't get them over here, of course. They're supposed to be of Lexus quality. They're almost a sort of people carrier Lexus. I'm quite intrigued by them. Mm. But I bet there's some interesting spec names of Velfires that you could...
I realise there's also a K car called the Suzuki Solio Bandit.
Oh, yeah, there is. I really like the Solio.
Calling someone a Solio Bandit is
That's the sort of guy that, you know, gets caught masturbating at work or something. You Suzuki Solio Bandit, don't talk to him. Do not talk to Solio Bandit. You've got me thinking of it's called Nom. It's an auto Nom. Hang on.
Auto Nom.
Yeah, I remember Auto Nom.
It was Auto Zam, which was Mazda, wasn't it? Or is Mazda maybe still? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it was Auto Nom. It made me laugh because I actually did like a walk around of it for... Sure, it's Auto Nom. I'll have to look it up.
Hmm. Since we're talking about cars.
Yeah, well, I feel bad for doing it because we sometimes get it in the neck from listeners saying that we overdo it on the car front.
I'll try and keep this brief, but anyway, I finally got round to driving a Kia EV6.
Oh!
After you raved about the one that you had as a long-termer, and generally the consensus seems to be it's good. So I was like, I need to check this out, because I quite like the look of it, and I like the Hyonic. The Hyundai Isotoniq 5.
Yes, Isotoniq
Which is on the same platform. So, it's a good car.
Yeah, it is.
That was a bit Tim Henman there.
That was a little bit Tim Henman. You're almost apologetic in the report.
I have a few. So I drove from home all the way up to the Lake District and back. I did about 600 miles over the course of a long weekend in the
EV6.
And it was nice and quiet on the motorway for the most part. So I was using the cruise control.
Yes.
I don't like the way the cruise control works. Let me just, that's my beat.
Is it adaptive? Is it a bit snatchy?
It's adaptive. No, the adaptive bit is fine, except that, you know, there are points where you're, for whatever reason, you just want to turn it off. And you can pause it, but it's not immediately obvious that you can do that. So I was just switching it off. And then when I was ready to cruise again, just switch it back on. But every time you do that, it then reinitiates the lane keep assist that it thinks it can steer for you. And, of course, those things are always dog shit and jerky.
They are.
I don't like them.
No,
so you've got to go and then push the button to disengage that. And it's just not always immediately obvious. And you feel like you're actually sort of spending more time looking down at the steering wheel buttons.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they're actual buttons rather than touch sensitive. But, yeah, just, I don't know. It's all kind of crammed on there with other buttons. And it feels like, I always think cruise control buttons should be given a sort of seriousness and of magnitude, because they're doing something pretty serious that you don't want to screw up.
That's true, actually. And funny enough, a couple of days ago, I've just filmed a review that's not out yet for the Toyota Gurr 86.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, and the thing about the Gurr 86 is the fact that it's one of the very few brand new cars left, I think, that has a physical stalk on the steering column for cruise control, old school style.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a little, it's like a pinky finger. If the steering wheel was a clock, it would be 25 minutes past.
Okay.
And it's funny because you don't notice it at first. And I was driving it on a long journey, and I thought, oh, I wouldn't mind a bit of cruise.
Mm.
That's my frigging doorbell. Can I just, I don't know, can I just grab that? Sorry.
You better have
hang
to.
Hang on, hang on a minute, sorry.
I'll just fill by talking about the EV6. It's got a lot of room in it in the back, I noticed, but the floor's a bit high because of the battery, and it's got quite a nice interior. Feels very high quality. Door handles, flush door handles on the top model, they electrically pop out for you. This was the mid model, they don't. They're fiddly. Didn't like them. I'm slightly distracted, wondering who's at Johnny's door, but we'll keep going. And the keyless entry didn't work. It might have been just a glitch on the car I borrowed, but yeah, couldn't get the keyless entry to work. Minor thing. And boot is all right, but it's got a very high floor, again, because of the batteries. So you can get some stuff in it, but it's sort of long, but not very deep. And hello, you're back. Who was that?
That was our old man next door offering to lend me his tarpaulin. That's brilliant. What a lovely guy. Oh, I don't see him very often because I'm out early and I'm back late a lot of the time. And I got the impression he wanted to chat, but...
Why did he want to lend you his tarpaulin?
Well, I don't know if I should say this on the microphone, but basically I think he was dropping a hint that you've got quite a lot of shit on your drive and it's getting wet. Do you want to cover it up with a tarpaulin that I've had for a while? That was sort of the conversation.
What shit?
I just cut. I haven't got enough room because I've downsized from house and garage, and I've just got some general car parts which are in limbo. I can't work out whether to just get rid or stockpile. Okay. It's not even interesting. It's not even worth putting on this podcast. You're going to cut it out.
It wasn't like books or something.
A couple of 17th century manuscripts that I just got, and I've just left. Wasn't it that hoarding? There was a hoarding TV show once with the guy that collected newspapers, and he kept them out in the back garden under a tarpaulin. They were newspapers.
Oh my God.
And he was convinced at some point they'd be collectible. I mean, that's the sign of someone really not well. The presenter was going, but they're getting damp. There's rodents living in them. No, they'll be okay. No, you can't keep paper outside.
Because you're not thinking clearly on that.
On that side of it.
I was just saying the EV6, it's got a high boot floor.
Yes, it has.
I noticed. So the boot's not as big as you might think, but it's okay. And it's big, isn't it? It's quite a big car. Just sort of deceptively big and wide.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, it's very pleasant to drive, and it's a four-wheel drive one.
See, I'm torn a little bit because although it's the sister car to the Ioniq 5, there's some key differences, and obviously the first one being the design is radically different. So you're either a crip or a blood, and that's just the way it is. You either like one or you like the t'other. And I prefer the Ioniq 5. I just love the design of it, and I still am excited about it now. However, there's no doubt in the EV6 has a sharper suspension and damping calibration going on. It is a more focused driver's car, I would say, but it has a smaller boot than the Ioniq 5. So it's kind of like you've got to really think about what you want out of this. The same drivetrain, but...
Yeah, I was thinking about the Ioniq 5 and thinking, I quite liked the way that sort of erred towards comfort.
Yeah.
And the interior is a sort of lounge.
It is lounge, kind of open plan chisel.
And I was thinking I would probably Towards the Ioniq 5. I'd like to try them back to back to see what's what.
I don't think you'd be disappointed. Well, I'm actually going on a road trip in the EV6 GT imminently. In fact, it might be around about the time this podcast goes live. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to that.
Are you bringing the EV6 GT to the live recording?
I don't know. I think I've got to give it back just before I go. Which means I will probably be driving up there in a Daihatsu Terios. I don't know yet. I'm not sure. I've got to have a look. I'd like to come up in an EV actually, something longer late. I'd see if I can grab a Megane or something like that, car like that, or sort of like that.
Well, you've only got a few days. On that note, this week, Thursday this week, the 8th is our next live show. At the time of recording, there are still tickets available. There might not be by the time you hear this, but if you do fancy coming along, do go and have a look on the off chance that there's still tickets for sale. We'd love to see you there. It's in County Durham, and in the northeast of England.
It's in a great place.
It's in a great place.
It's a really good venue.
If it's anything like the last ones, you know, it'd be nice.
Yep, going to be surrounded by some classic cars, and at the Aston Workshop, which is in Beamish, isn't it? Beamish. I'm very much looking forward to it. A night of jolly japes in the north.
Yes, yes.
In the north.
And more live shows. I think this will be the last one for this year, but next year we will be doing some more, hopefully starting in January. And because what I've noticed every time we announce a live show, no matter where it is, several people go, oh, couldn't you do one, like, next door to my house? That'd be better for me. And so we are going to try and sort of move around the country. But
if you join Patreon and you say, oh, right, I'm going to pledge £500 for a year, we'll just come round to your house and we'll do a podcast in your lounge.
Will we? For 500 quid?
Well, I don't know. We haven't worked out the specifics. I'm just but there'd be an amount of money that would be large. And we'd go, do you know what? All right, Richard, let's do that then. Let's go around to this guy's house and we're going to do a podcast from his lounge. And hopefully he's told his family, because if he hasn't, it'd be awkward. And you have to tell the dog to get out because it keeps yelping.
One to work on in the new year. But we'll probably do some ones that are in sort of slightly larger settings where we can invite 250 people rather than someone's lounge. Thursday the 8th, we're going to be in County Durham, and we hope to see you there. What was I going to say? I don't know. I said something else to say that was possibly relevant, but possibly not. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, you really, really are. You really are. You're flagging, aren't you?
I am. It's terrible. I feel really khaki. And anyway.
You need to go to a steam rally. That's what you need to do.
What, just clear out the
tubes? Oh, no, I know what you need to do. Go for a detox to DJ Khaled's Airbnb in his trainer cupboard.
Oh, my Christ.
I think it is.
Yeah, we've been saying that quite a lot.
We have.
Surprisingly,
it's because people want to irritate me.
DJ Khaled, yes, and people like to irritate you, so.
I mean, have you seen it? It says, "We the best" on the floor, or "We the best music." It's a double bed inside a large walk-in wardrobe that's got racks of trainers everywhere, with a throne. Looks like a crushed velvet throne on it. I think he's a self-proclaimed king.
I don't think there's any legal basis for that.
And it's here. There we go. It's got. I'm grateful for the opportunity to invite guests to kick it in my sneaker kingdom.
Kick it.
And I'd like to do. I'd like to book it and say to DJ Khaled, DJ Khaled, let's go for a really long walk with your new trainers on. Should we go for a really long walk? And you know he'll be chafing. He'll be chafing within.
Push him into some dog shit.
No. He probably doesn't walk very far. So I say, let's go for an hour's walk. And the look of shock on his face. And he'll end up having really bad sort of like chafy ankles and corns within half an hour's walk. That's what I'd like to do with DJ Khaled.
Okay, so yeah, your idea of exacting harmed DJ Khaled.
Well, he's showing his shoe collection. Let's use these shoes as they were intended. Let's do this.
I haven't seen anything in the description of Khaled's Airbnb that says he'll be there and we'll go for a walk with you.
He got gifted two high-end toilets by Drake. I mean, he can't even make this stuff up. I just don't understand it. But
do you think that was actually a subtle diss? He just went, I'm going to send Khaled.
What, that you are a toilet?
A shitter, yes.
Yeah. Or that maybe an incident took place. He went round to Drake's house and I think maybe had a bit of a gurgly tummy. And he might have.
He'd had a lambooner the night before.
He had a lambooner, and then someone went, oh, do you fancy a pint of Mountain Dew just before bed? And he went, yeah, go on then. And then the cauldron was really bubbling. Yeah.
Did we talk about on the podcast? Because I suddenly remembered it the other day and I was giggling to myself. I think we were just chatting to ourselves about before that Bond film premiere that we went to, whenever that was, last year? This year?
Would have been last year.
The Daniel Craig would just pop out for a quick curry and get lampersander all down his front and have to go to the premiere with a really wet suit because he had to go in the loo and sponge it off.
Yes, that's right. And because it was a light suit, there's just sort of one of those darker patches where you don't want people to think that it's wee. You have cleaned it, but there's only a certain amount of sort of hand toweling and hand drying you can do. Oh!
I had that the other day. I had an absolute belter in a public loo somewhere where just, you know, do you remember that episode of The Simpsons where Bart sells his soul and then finds that, like, automatic doors don't work?
Yes.
Because he hasn't got a soul anymore. And I sometimes worry that I haven't got a soul because I have terrible trouble working, you know, motion-sensitive taps. They never work first time for me.
Well, a bit like Alexa. She doesn't listen to me. She doesn't give a shit.
Really?
The kids used to find it really funny. The fact that everyone, you could go around the room and everyone could ask it to do something. And I'd ask it to do something and it was just met with utter silence, like a ghost had said.
Did you start to worry that you were dead?
Yeah, I used to go closer to the mic and go, right, I'm going to raise my voice. Because I've got quite a quiet voice, I think. Certainly as a presenter, I've got quite a quiet voice. And I just thought, right, okay, I'm going to project my voice a bit. Fuck you. And I'll go a bit closer. And still,
full Brian Blessing.
Yeah, well, I was going to, but no.
Well, that reminds me of something that's happened to me again last weekend, but it happened before. I went a few weeks ago. There's a big Sainsbury's near here, and I went up to it, and one of the things I needed to buy was eggs, and I couldn't find eggs. Just couldn't find them. And I was walking round and round the supermarket. Obviously, I'm a bloke. I'm not going to ask for help. And I was just walking around. Couldn't find eggs. And I started thinking, maybe I've imagined eggs. Maybe eggs don't exist.
What?
It's all just dreamt. There's no such thing as eggs.
No, you're going crackers now, aren't you?
Well, but then it happened to me last weekend when we were away. We went to the supermarket with one of my mates to go and get some eggs. And we couldn't find them. And I went to him, you know what, Paul? I'm starting to think that, I've had this before, I'm starting to think eggs don't exist. I think we've imagined them. We've had a collective dream where we think eggs exist. You know? So then my mate Paul went up to one of the staff and went, excuse me, do you know where your eggs are? And I was waiting for the bloke to go, oh, what?
Eggs.
Oh, what do you mean? Eggs? What? Eggs? I've never heard of them.
Eggs?
You don't get that from chickens. What are you talking about, sir? And then there'd be a sort of crash zoom on my face.
Oh, Richard, you sound like you're chronically hungover or something like that.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But yeah. It's like you've been out on the lash and you sound fine and I got an early night and I sound dreadful. I'm just at that precise point in a cold where you just feel really, really manky.
It's at this point we talk real business on the podcast. Mitsubishi Jettel update. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. This came in quite a long time on the email, the old email, by a chap called Phil Lacey, who said, morning, chaps. Much as taking photos in gents' toilets is not my usual preference, I thought you'd appreciate this stylish competitor for Mitsubishi's Jettel. Behold, the Airwolf. Oh, this is amazing.
Oh.
It's cool. It's brushed aluminium, and even the logo is quite 80s. It's slightly italic and it's got lines cut through it, like air is rushing through the font. And it says Air-Wolf. And he said, I found this off of Brittany Ferries. To be honest, it overpromises and it underdelivers in terms of hand drying abilities, but it looks nice. Thanks, Phil. Now, I found this week, and I sent it to you, Richard, another pretender to the throne of hand dryers in gents' toilets or ladies' toilets. I just don't frequent those. The PHS Airstream Vitesse. Now, yes. I'd never heard of this contraption, and I don't know if anyone else
has.
We
have been sent it a couple of times, at least, by listeners.
What, the Airstream Vitesse?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
do you know what? I have also been sent. I got sent by a chap saying, oh, I've noticed in several of your barn finds you don't get the car going. I found, why don't you just use a can of Lynx? It's better than Easy Start. And I actually read this several times thinking this guy's taking the piss. But I think he's serious. He's put, and then I think underneath he put something like, it doesn't really matter which scent. I use Africa. It's just like, what? Does anybody start an old
don't
car?
Don't use Java, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
it's got to be Africa.
Does anybody start a car with an old can of sort of teenage deodorant? I can't believe they do. Do they?
What? How is he sort of squirting this into the cylinders?
He's squirting this down the throat of the, you know, like the plenum.
Oh,
and or down the mouth of the carburetor. You're like, what, deodorant? Can't be better than...
Well, I suppose it does. It's combustible, isn't it? But
it's not combustible than a fine mist of petrol, son. Unless misread the science.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a more delicate way of doing things. I enjoyed your Opel Monza vid, by the way, but because you told me in advance that you didn't get the car started, it was like watching a movie where you know the hero dies.
Oh, is it like watching The Perfect Storm where you're convinced that George Clooney's not going to die and Mark Wahlberg?
He can't die, he's Clooney.
But he does. Okay. And, you know, spoiler alert, but it's a 30-year-old film, so who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I've seen it now, but it's too late. It's like that, because I was like, you had mentioned to me you couldn't get it going, so I was watching it, and I was watching all your valiant efforts, you and my mate Big John, trying to get it going, and I was a bit like, oh, I know how this ends. But
it's a bit of love for the Monza, which I'm pleased about, because I was worried that it would be overlooked. People would just go, it's not an old Ford, or it's not an old BMW, so who cares? But actually, it's a class.
No,
it's a class.
It's a lot of affection for those cars.
Yeah.
They're just cool, aren't they?
Yeah, the owners said to me, I've booked it in, it's going to be recommissioned. I'm going to get it back on the road. Ready for spring.
Nice.
So I'm really pleased about that. That warms my cockles.
Good. Well, years ago, I was talking to John. I hadn't seen him for ages. And I was talking to him. I went, what's going on? How's things? How's cars? You still got all the cars? And he went, well, yeah. And I just bought another Monza. And I was like, John, why have you bought another Monza? At that point, I think he had five or six Monzas. Why have you bought another Monza? And he went, well, you told me to. So I bloody did not. And it turns out that he'd been on Piston Heads and there was a discussion about a Monza for sale in their classifieds. And John had said, oh, well, I'm sort of tempted to buy this. It looks like a nice one. And someone with the username Sniff Petrol said, I definitely think you should. And John thought, well, that's all the encouragement I need. Richard's telling me to buy it.
Oh, my gosh, it wasn't even
But it
you.
Wasn't me. Someone else is just calling himself Sniff Petrol.
Well, that's just wrong.
John to go and buy a Monza. I sort of feel like John would have bought the Monza anyway.
I think,
but the point is, I was
kind
of like, shit, someone's got my name. And I contacted this guy and just went, look, you know, I can't stop you, but why have you got the name of my website as your username? And he went, oh, just like your website.
What?
I like Louis Theroux, but I wouldn't use the real Louis Theroux as my username because that might be misleading.
I would.
It's you really like
because
Louis
I really like Louis Theroux. That's a sort of stalkery thing to do. I like him so much, I'm going to just try and be him. That is it.
Have you seen him interviewing Bear Grylls?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
It's a good watch.
Is it? Does he go to Bear's quite lonely island where his wife just sits there gritting her teeth, thinking, "Yeah,
there's a bit of that." Yeah, you do go. She is very patient. Because he's, although I don't know, it looked like he might have electricity. I thought he didn't have electricity on that island.
Well, what he doesn't
it's
tell
very
you,
nice,
he's probably
it's off,
got
you know,
an old diesel locomotive in the trees, just sort of like that he's had craned in. No, Chinook, he's had it Chinooked in, just dropped there. And it sits and he just strikes it up sort of twice a week and charges a shitload of batteries and things. Well, you've got to have
Like really old lead acid batteries.
Oh, big old.
Masses school. Of them.
Loads.
Yeah,
a whole carriage full. Yeah.
Leaky lead acid batteries. We watched it.
He's
and
burning
my wife
tires
and I
to keep warm, to keep his kids warm.
Yeah. It's good. Brilliant. Going to the mainland in a rib and then going outside the supermarket. You're not using that polystyrene. Can I take it back to my island? I need to stick it on the tire fire. I watched it with my wife and at the end of it she went, he's quite a strange man, isn't he? I was like, yeah, he is a bit strange.
I like him.
Anyway,
I like good
Louis Theroux.
Yeah, okay, I like Bear. I think he's encouraging kids to get out and grab adrenaline instead of just, I don't know, hosing time away on TikTok. So I'm unless Bear Grylls is on TikTok, in which case, then that's okay, I guess. But just lovely. I genuinely don't understand TikTok. I mean, that's me sounding like a middle-aged guy, but I've tried to work it out. It just doesn't tell me anything. There's no tutorials because there's no time for that. It's just people copying other people's dances, yeah, which I just find irritating. Features that have been cropped to the point where there's no meaning or information left. So at that point, I'm struggling.
I worked on something recently. I did the scripts and then was on the shoot for a thing that was going across social media. And we shot it. And then I went to the edit and realised that, of course, they were having to, although it had been shot in the sort of standard 16:9 format, they were then having to edit it. It's 9:16, so it was good on phones.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a fucking claustrophobic way to view things when you realise it's been shot the other way.
Oh, it's horrible.
It was awful. It was actually some of the bits, it kind of went, oh, well, that doesn't work at all because you can't see everything. It's, it's quite, like, because they had to do a normal version as well for YouTube. So you couldn't shoot it. You couldn't commit to either way. But yeah, it's horrid. Anyway.
Can I read out a little letter that I think is funny? And it's
a little letter,
which is a little bit
Here's
funny.
Here's a song.
Here's a little song.
Here's a song.
This is, the title is The US Air Force No Name Mountain Bike Guy.
Oh, this letter.
Yeah, it's a good letter. Yes, do you think,
we should definitely read this out. This is from Dale Hornsby.
Dale Hornsby.
I also thought it's an excellent name.
Squadron Leader Dale Hornsby, which I think is very cool indeed. Dear Richard, dear Johnny. I've been listening to your brilliant podcast for a few months now, and since October, my service in the Royal Air Force is deemed fit to send me thousands of miles away from my wife and children to Qatar. A coincidence that there is a football tournament happening here all the same, not the reason I'm here, but I digress. I've been sent to the desert to a huge dusty Air Force base that, although owned and run by the Qatari Emirati Air Force, has a major US Air Force presence going back as far as the Gulf War, and there's been a little British contingent here too. Amongst the thousands of American servicemen and women here, and a small clutch of the Brits, one American has really started to stand out for me. I see him every night as I walk the kilometre or so stretch of the 30-foot-wide block weave path that runs through the middle of the living accommodation called the Yellow Brick Road to the gym for a CrossFit session. Good detail, Dale. Like it. And there he is, American Air Force no-name suspension mountain bike guy, terrorising pedestrians as he tears along, gears squeaking, pedal crank grinding, saddle set way too low, and absolutely no sign of hands in contact with the handlebars for a whole 2 kilometres. The wife-beater vest, the shorts, the rucksack, the trainers, the knee-high socks, complemented by a rainbow-coloured tie-dye sweatband, which I haven't seen for a long time. And I haven't seen a wheelie yet, but we know it's just a matter of time. The American military is never knowingly under-equipped, and their welfare facilities are legendarily well-founded on their overseas bases. This camp is no exception. The British contingent has our own little ramshackle porter cabin that we operate as a Brit pub. A few Americans do like to come to our pub, presumably for the atmosphere and maybe the karaoke, but you guessed it. American Air Force no-name mountain bike guy is a regular here, louder and brasher than the average American, and always a bit too flirty with the ladies of the same contingent. There are other observations here that you might appreciate, like the fleet of locally hired cars for us to get around in, for example, which are all MG5 saloons, all of them in Arab market poverty spec, in every possible colour available as long as it's white, and they all have a horrendously whiny CVT gearbox. They are not treated kindly, but they do seem to be holding up to the abuse. Thank you ever so much. It says here... A couple of observations from a Smith & Sniff fan stuck in the desert. I'll close with a thank you. It's probably a stretch to say that the weekly Smith & Sniff installment is the highlight of my week, but listening to the cast each week with my earbuds on helps me through. It's like spending an hour with a couple of mates chatting cars and stuff in the mess back home. You make me laugh every week, and you're helping to keep the spirits high on that side of things. Dale, thank you. And I now need... photographic evidence, if that's at all possible, of no name US Air Force.
Sounds like it might be a security.
Well, it could be, couldn't it? I can just hear the chain just squeaking right now. Yeah. And he's
particularly in that desert environment.
Oh, just imagine it. Oh, it's awful.
So sandy and dusty. And
it's ready to snap at any point. And he's probably doing very aggressive left-right weaves. You know, like tyre-warming weaves in Formula One, where they're trying to get a little bit of warmth into the tyres just pre-race. That's what he's doing, isn't he? Yeah. But no-handed.
Yes, of course, no-handed.
But no-handed, yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Dale. And but also, Squadron Leader Dale, I saw this and I thought, now, is that the most impressive job title we've ever had from a listener? I'm not sure. If you have a more impressive job title, do get in touch.
Yeah, please do.
Like Overlord or something. That'd be smashing. There was some stuff I wanted to read out, and of course I completely failed to prepare.
I love your honesty. I have one from Matt Manus Curran, who's just a short one that just said, "Hi Johnny, really enjoyed your trip to the Green Isle recently on the Late Break Show. It would be great to see a live event at some point in the future. But I watched one of your episodes where you reviewed the Honda E, which you really liked, I saw. And I wondered why nobody has compared the visual similarities to the Allegro." And when I first read this, I thought, what's he thinking? There's no... And then he's put two pictures together. And I'm staring at the two pictures going, they're not that dissimilar. Are they? It's got that grill, the inboard lights with the black masky grill. Yeah. And it has got a sort of, I don't know what you'd call its proportions, but it's not podgy. But yeah, it's I like them both. And I'm gonna call it. It's the modern day Allegro in a good way.
There we go.
In a good way.
Oh, I know what we did. So letters-wise, I know what we did have. We had quite a bit of love for the Passat W8 that we mentioned last week.
Yes.
Ryan Beveridge says, "I'm not going to pretend the W8 Passat is a performance icon or any kind of icon. I will, however, stand up for their perceived reliability. Bar coil packs and a preventative gearbox rebuild."
What?
Brackets, they were notorious for going wrong at 80,000 miles.
Preventative
Nothing W8-specific has gone wrong. Just regular servicing and consumables. Long story short, it's been through three family members, and currently my younger brother is really enjoying it and giving it a new lease of life. He is 1 year older than the Passat.
What?
It's on its original alloys.
I need to see this car.
Well, it's on one of the emails in one of the various things that we have.
I love your ill contact. Your ill logistics mean that you just can't be bothered
Well, Ryan says his dad bought this car in 2005 when it was 3 years old, and he had it for 10 years before moving to Mazda 6s and Lexus ESs, and but he kept the car.
Wow!
And in 2020. He gave it to Ryan or sold it to Ryan.
Do you know, that's really cool.
His Honda S2000.
So W8 family heirloom.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So, Ryan says he was looking to buy an S4 Avant or a Kia Stinger, and his dad offered to give him the W8 to put towards a car, but when he tried to sell it, he didn't get any interest. So
he's kept the
W8 has stayed in the family. So the last MOT, it needed a handbrake cable, and that's it. A 20-year-old, 105,000-mile Passat with no other advisories. So...
I want one now, and I've got no reason.
It's an estate.
Oh, no, it's an estate as well.
It's an estate, and it's on those really good alloys.
Well, listen, when the time comes for it to leave the family, please consider me. I'm not in the market right now, but then you're not in the market either. But it's something I would possibly take on. Like an exotic pet refuge person. I'm down with that.
Richard Fitton Perkins, another listener.
He
shares some W8 knowledge. He says, "Speaking of the Odyssey, which is the Passat W8, did you know that VAG originally wanted a clean sheet competitor to its in-house rival, the Audi A6? With the Passat B5 being such a huge seller at the time, and Ferdinand Piëch's desire to push the VW brand up market to the level of Mercedes, the cheaper option to a clean sheet design was to put the W8 into a stretched wheelbase B5-based vehicle. The platform started its life as the Passat Plus in China, where they like long wheelbase saloons. was not premium enough to sit below the Phaeton in Europe, so the Passat Plus for the European market became the original 2001 Skoda Superb.
Never
got the W8, which was unceremoniously thrown into a specced-up normal Passat and became a why-does-this-exist car. So there you go. That all makes sense. There were bigger plans involving longer wheelbases and all that shiz, and it just didn't happen.
The love is growing. The more we talk about the W8, damn it.
Just, if you'd like Johnny to really buy a Passat W8, just keep sending us emails about it.
No.
But they must contain proper information, e.g. I've got one and it's great.
Yeah, I need real information. And no more photos of Mitsubishi jet tails. As much as we like talking about them, we get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. So if you can find a PHS Airstream Vitesse or the Airwolf, then maybe we can talk. Or other great pretenders of the throne of hand dryers that don't do the amazing job that Dyson does by just throwing water onto the floor and thus breaking an old man's hip in the toilet. However, two things I've got to mention while they're on the tip of my tongue. One, Richard, did you see that foreign pack of peanuts that I sent a photo of?
Yes.
That I got, I think.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't really acknowledge them, but
I got them from a hotel. I got them from a hotel in Spain or somewhere like that. And I've kept them in my bag because, you know, when you're sometimes on a job and you just need a snack and you're a bit low and you think, oh, wow, well, yeah, I put a pack of nuts in there at some point or raisins or whatever. Well, it's called, listeners, I'll put a picture for Patreons. It's called Sporty Mix. It's just a small packet of peanuts and a couple of raisins and sultanas, and yet they think that it's worthy of the term Sporty Mix.
It's not clear. It's by the company. I noticed the company is called Nutisal.
Yes, it is.
Which in itself is somehow unappealing.
Yes,
it sounds like some kind of talc you put on your ball.
It does. It does sound like
chafing.
It does sound like egg bag kind of balm, doesn't it?
Yeah, balm. But it's Sporty Mix. Why?
I don't
know.
What's
sporty about some nuts and a couple of raisins?
Well, this is what I was. Somebody please tell me what? So trail mix does it help you on trails?
It's not sporty, really.
And is it sporty? I just can't see it. I mean, it was.
I suppose it gives you energy.
Slow release energy.
Better than rather than having a bag of crisps, sports crisps.
What would be sports crisps? Sports crisps.
I don't think there's such a thing as sports crisps because there is nothing sporty about crisps. I don't know. One for walkers to
bear in mind.
Just keep it in mind.
And I forgot to also say, talking of energy, sorry to just lever this one in. But when I was at the NEC a few weeks back at the huge Classic Motor Show, somebody came up to me. And they wanted to have a chat with me about the Late Break Show and also this podcast, say that they enjoyed it. And they went, they sell Rich Energy here. I went, what? They say, yeah. The NEC has a Londis, like a 7-Eleven type thing if you're American.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
He said, "There's cans of 7-Eleven. There's cans of Rich Energy." He said, "I nearly bought one to bring in to you to prove it." And I said, "Bloody hell, man! Are you sure?" He went, "Yeah. There's like a whole row of it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing." And then I saw with my own eyes some Rich Energy later on that day, just to make sure he wasn't lying. And then about a month ago, we had a listener send an email to us, Stuart Vieira, saying, as an avid listener, I was at Brands Hatch British Superbike event quite recently. Guess what I found? I found a can of Rich Energy.
Yeah, it does seem to hang around bike races because of that whole weird sponsorship thing that's not the same Rich Energy, but BSB Rich Energy that's...
Because he said they do sponsor a team or two, so that makes sense. But this was a non-Rich Energy branded stand that was selling Rich Energy, which adds to the weirdness surrounding Rich Energy. You'd at least expect them to have a merch stand and sell them there, but no, that would be too logical. Anyway, I will happily send you a can if you'd like. There's a pic below of it for proof. Keep up the good work. It's true, it's taken too high res. two red, two high two, res.
Just to be on the safe side.
Two high res photos of the Rich Energy can. That's so good. I love the detail, the commitment. Love that. Thank you, yeah. Stuart. Do you know what? If you've still got it, I might get you to send it to someone for a Christmas present.
All I want for Christmas is...
my two front teeth, which have now gone because I've been sculling energy drinks.
I've got to read this out. This is possibly the most unusual message that we've received in the last week. It's from Ben Hanford. Ben is one of our patrons. Ben's message just starts, Havers pilot, and Havers is in inverted commas.
He continues. Havers?
Havers pilot. Would Richard consider penning a script for the Nigel Havers-themed lightweight drama? In my head, he'd be a former barrister having an eventful retirement, smoking around West Sussex in his burgundy Jaguar XJS. Naturally, the show would feature Nigel getting embroiled in light, low-stakes intrigue, which he would investigate in his endless free time by visiting friends and acquaintances who all seemingly have jobs or pastimes involving Goodwood, sometimes the racecourse, others the motor circuit.
Of course.
Rolls-Royce and Chichester Festival Theatre. I would love to see a script or just a synopsis of a possible pilot. I also enjoy the notion that the character is just called Nigel Havers.
Do you know what? This could work.
Ben, that's the strangest message I've ever had. You're effectively commissioning me to write a very...
niche play?
Niche.
Havers spec, look, that's Havers spec environment. And Havers
spec, but
Havers is unusually fit Bergen for his DHJ. Age. He's a regular squash player, but not injured. And
yeah, he's spry.
He's spry, but also gets himself in a situation where he does lightweight flirting with many middle-aged women, but it never quite comes to anything because he has restraint. So that he's always lots of untied knots, as it were, with females wherever he goes.
Yeah. No, but he's honourable and well behaved. And
I don't think he'd be an XJS guy though. I think it's too old now to drive every day. Certainly in winter, it will go frilly and fall to fucking pieces.
Yeah, well, maybe that is just his.
I'm thinking. What about that Lexus that we've talked about that no one buys? The convertible one that.
What's it called again?
God, I sure wrote, is it?
SC430.
Yes, SC430. That's it. He would be in an SC430. With always got golf clubs and rackets in the boot.
Yeah.
Which clatter around a bit when he gets into some busy B road action.
Busy B road. He turns to his passenger and just goes, "Don't be alarmed. I'm going to put it in sport." And then it kicks down furiously.
And then you just hear the clatter of golf balls and clubs. Yeah,
what was that?
Rackets.
Oh, no. I've forgotten. I had 2 pints of a rather tasty Shiraz in the boots.
What's that?
Did I say pints? I meant
bottles. What's that stuff? What's that? You know that Plato drives around with a bottle of wine in the boot. Do you know this?
No.
Jason, when I filmed with him, was it last year or was it between lockdowns? I can't remember. When I borrowed the Taycan Cross Turismo, I took it to Plato's house to let him have a spank in it because he's a serial Panamera buyer and he's got the Panamera Sex Tourist model. So he wanted to see the comparison. When we left in the boot of the pan, of his pan, there's a bottle of wine in like the side net or one of those little recesses, you know, the ones that you can't quite work out what they're for, but they're there. And it's a really nice British, I think it might have been a British sparkling wine. And I went, what have you got wine in the car for? Is that from... left over from shopping this week? And he went no, he said, "Oh, it's a really nice drink, this one. It's one of my favorites." And he said, "I always keep a nice bottle in the boot because it just in case you want to gift it to someone." I went, "What, to who, in what scenario?" Like, "Oh, I'm really sorry that I ran your dog over. Here, have some high-end sparkling British wine." Well, I didn't soften the blow. I don't know.
Backed into your shed.
Yeah, I'm sorry I knocked over your dry stone heritage wall. Listen, it'll be fine.
But he hands it over. He's been driving like Jason Plato. It's become incredibly agitated. And when the people take it back in their house, it explodes.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, it's under immense pressure because he's been...
immense.
He's been lefting and righting. And, of course, the car's sitting there ticking like mad while he's trying to have a polite conversation. He does it as a diversion technique so that he doesn't ultimately give them his telephone number or his address. And within a flash, he's gone. And they're just left with a really delightful Sussex sparkling wine. I can't remember the actual
because
type.
Because he had that weird situation a few years ago, didn't he, which all ended up on Piston Heads, where he met a guy outside a dry cleaners, I think it was, and the bloke was a bit sort of sweaty and over-enthusiastic and shook his hand for too long. And this all ended up on Piston Heads, where the guy wrote, "I've met Jason Plato and he's a complete knob." And Plato popped up and went, "Mate, listen, first of all, you ambushed me outside a dry cleaners. Second, you wouldn't let go of my hand. Third, you were a bit weird and sweaty. And so, you know, just wind your neck in. I was trying to be nice, but you were a bit strange," the kind of thing. And then it all escalated and people refused to believe it was Plato until he posted a picture of himself with a jar of custard.
Of course it was the guy.
The famous custard incident, yeah. Yes. I'm sure it's somewhere still in the Pistonheads archive.
And of course he's recently retired as a driver, Jason, hasn't he?
Yeah, which to spend more time. I'm surprised he hasn't got a vineyard, like a, you know, sort of some kind of
facility
to make wine.
Imagine him and Tiff on orchard tractors trying to do a little bit of a clean-up, you know, like... Because growing things, it's a slow process. You've got to tweak stuff, don't you? Every week you do a bit of this and a bit of that and then wait.
Yeah.
And, of course, neither of them will wait for anything. They're not patient at all. So Plato would be, like, busy pouring things into the ground, going, "Oh, I bet that'll make it grow a bit quicker. Oh, that'll make it taste a bit better." Meanwhile, Tiff's mowing the lawn for the eighth time because he's got nothing else to do, but obviously racing as fast as he can. It would just be so good. The racer's vineyard, where it's like, we won't wait for the wine. We will not wait for the wine.
It's completely revolting because they're using like
racer's vinegar. Yeah. The winning edge. Well, actually, no, because people drink vinegar cooking for wine. Health now, don't they?
Well,
I don't really
yes,
understand what it is. Is it good for gut health or something like that?
I can't remember. My wife tried it briefly and it was just so revolting that she gave up.
I don't.
And the smell. Ugh, the smell. Yeah. Was, I cannot remember.
Well, you imagine you've got a bit of that sloshing around in the boot, in Plato's boot, and then a big container of, is it kefir? The sort of slightly curdled, yogurt-y...
yes.
Yeah. You imagine having an incident where you're going through some S's on the Sussex back roads with Plato, obviously coming in hot, and you've got kefir yes. clanging around with sparkling wine, clanging around with gut vinegar, and it all just goes a little bit explosive in the back with his dachshund, because he's got an extremely aggressive dachshund as well. he does. I couldn't go near it. It really wanted to maul me and I was terrified of it.
I mean, predictably, I can't find it now, but someone did write in and say, can Johnny just do a show of stories about Jason Plato? Which, well, I mean, I feel like you've almost sort of fulfilled that request.
Well, we try.
Look, let's wrap this up because, listen, I'll be honest, I just need to go and curl into a ball.
Are you feeling a bit grotty?
Wait for this horror to pass. I'm feeling a bit grotty. It's cold up here. I'd like to go back in the warm house, not be in the shed. So, before we go, I've got three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Reintegrate Snake Show, in which Johnny attempts to get the now unemployed protagonist from the Metal Gear Solid games back into a more normal job in society. This week, trying to get him through his probation period as a double glazing company.
What?
Is he still taking rejection of quotes very badly? That's from Ant Brown off of Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Ant, for that one. If that's not to your taste, then there's obviously The Late Brick Show, which has got lots of excellent videos. Opal Monza, Resto Mod Larder. What else is up at the moment that's good and pure?
Oh, we'll have a nice one. We'll have a really good one that will have just gone out. If you're a patron, it'll be about the same time that you listen to this. And that will be, let me think, Erex's Brains. Oh, it'll be a Group B car cave collection. A man in his mid-70s that still competes in a Lancia 037 with his wife. Flipping the guy is a demon. And a hero. Wow. And his wife baked us That's bread crazy. While we were filming. Oh, people, cool people lovely. Like that do exist.
Yeah,
they do exist.
That's good. Okay, oh, that, the engine bay of that Larder Resto Mod it looked implausible, like it didn't have any ancillaries. So clean.
It's really clinical. And Dave from Off of Retro Faults, who's a lovely guy and a decent engineer who built that car, just thought about it quite logically and how to clean it up, like turning the throttle bodies upside down to hide the injectors so they just look like velocity stacks on carbs.
the way in which all of the wiring and the plumbing is threaded through, the breather tank sat next to the wiper motor in the scuttle panel. It's just, it turns me on. It really is. That's my aspiration for the Allegro. It's like that level of sort of cleanliness. Not like silly cleanliness to the point where you can't take anything off the car because you've hidden it all.
Yeah.
But yeah. It just looks like it's been installed to an extremely high standard. And yeah, I love it. The engine mate's my favourite part of that Lada. And the fact that watch the video, when he goes from, I think, fourth to fifth and he's still flat on the throttle and the car is waving around like the Queen's hand at a ceremony, my eyes change a little and they get wider where I go, okay, we're fully committed in terms of power and speed. And this Lada has got no safety facilities at all apart from Alfa Romeo 156 seats. That's it. But yeah, it's a great build. I love a Lester mod. I love a sleeper, me. I love a sleeper and all that.
All right, well, the second thing I've got to tell you is just to reiterate, on Thursday of this week, if you're listening to the show on Monday, we are at the Car Barn Aston Workshop in Beamish, in County Durham, doing another live recording. As we speak, there are tickets available. Don't know if there will be by the time you hear this, but why not go and have a look? We'll put links up if there are. Or warn you on the socials if there aren't, either way. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that in some countries, tea is called chai, and there's a reason for this. It's how your country originally got its tea. If tea spread to your country by sea, you call it tea. If it's spread by land, you call it chai.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the ports of Fujian and Taiwan, where sea-bound tea would leave from, they use the pronunciation tea. Whereas Mandarin, inland, they say chai. So if you got your tea over land, you'd have adopted the pronunciation of the place that dispatched it, effectively.
Well, if you went over land, you can legitimately say one tea, live it. And you can have that sticker in the...
one chai,
one live chai, it. Yes, live it, can't you? Yeah. Gosh, I hate that slogan.
Yeah,
it's just awful.
I do too.
It's awful.
Awful. All right. Well,
sorry to end that on a downer.
We'll do this all again next time, except we'll do it in front of an audience. So we will hopefully see a few listeners there. The rest of you will hear the results next Monday. Until then, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Love you. Bye. I'm Johnny Smith. Because I am.
That's just a fact. Fucking deal with it.
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Johnny Smith.